Simon, I see you posted some topics.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just cover it from the top. I think we have quite a lot to talk about. Would be cool just to bring people up on stage. I think if you're there, feel free to hop on a little later and we can chat. Yeah, Simon, can you get us started?
Yeah, sure. Discovered that a lot of folks listen to the recording of this. I'm going to be a little bit more mindful of that because I tend to go on. Maybe that's why people listen. I don't know. But I want to make this a nice, succinct update and just easy, maybe a little easier to follow. Maybe filling space a bit on these. We did have this to have a space to talk about just the discussions. Sometimes the discussions are tough because, frankly, text, async texting versus synchronous chat or just like verbal discussion helps a lot with kind of finding agreements, but it turns out attendance is tough. So it's turned into these longer updates, which I'm fine with. If people are listening, that's awesome. We also have the kitchen on Fridays, which is a bit more of a like an office hours. That's become more kind of a discussing back and forth, less of a one-way broadcast and of updates. And then we're also writing updates every other week about the product. Not 100% consistent on that, but we missed last week because Chibi was on vacation. So I think we'll have one tomorrow just to give an idea of kind of progress on the things that aren't as visible, especially like product updates. So yeah, you know, always open to feedback, especially if you're listening to the recording, things you want to hear, things you don't want to hear. Would love feedback on what people get out of this. Yeah, to run through the topics. And again, for those listening who can't see it, I'll just go through the agenda. We're going to give an update on Sotheby's. There's an additional opportunity with an auction with a benefit auction for the Lumen Prize. Talking about the progress on a JS project. Little update on the LLM prototype. Discussion about Base. The V2 app and new site coming soon. And then just a little bit of a look into working on an annual report. We'll have kind of budget discussions coming up not too long from now and the things we want to be reporting on there. Yeah, from the top, really the very final details with Sotheby's, talking about reserves and prices and just getting some feedback from collectors as much as we can. We want to have flexibility because we don't know what the market's going to do in 2 months. So we're really looking at setting kind of minimums that reserves won't go below. And even the Genesis pieces, saying instead two Genesis pieces, not these specific Genesis pieces. The feedback I've gotten from the sentiment that there isn't as much opinion about which Genesis pieces from the DAO, more so like just not more than two. And that gives us flexibility to adapt to collector interest. If there's something people are really resonating with, we can make sure that's the one that goes to sale at the right reserve and price. So looking to shore that up today, put to vote tomorrow, and really have that closed up and finalized next week. And there's been another opportunity. I'll be posting this proposal today, probably. We already have it in the BIP discussions, just an informal draft, but I'm going to be pushing it to formal draft. There's some positive feedback on an additional auction about a week or so before the solo show at Sotheby's. This is a benefit auction for the Lumen Prize. Lumen's been a huge supporter of Botto very early on, a very influential prize in digital art. It's an incredible roster of artists participating. Buyers get basically a tax write-off for it because it's for a benefit. Botto gets half the proceeds still. A lot of positives that can drive to a very nice, promising sale right before the solo show. Good exposure, ideally a good price. And we're going to propose doing the Alchemist Playroom for that. The BIP's available. You can go check it out. We'll be out shortly. In fact, you can already see the draft. Not much different from what's already there. We'll have some stuff on the details of like commission prices and all that. But a bit bigger is P5JS with Botto. Just to give a summary of what's up right now, looking at something we can commit to with Verse. Verse is really keen on doing a show with a drop. We've gotten like a lot of collector interest on something. And some of this is hinged on a big upgrade to the architecture. And so the idea is, what can the DAO commit to off as far as February, even when some of the build is unclear? And when Botto was launched, we launched it. So the question is, how can the DAO set these parameters without a clear certainty of what the outcome is going to look like? I've outlined a possible process there and performance that Botto could do. And again, for the sake of time, I won't go too into it now unless people want to hear more about it here. But I think it's a very exciting setup. And feedback, again, so far, fairly positive. I talked to folks offline about it, very positive. So we'll be putting forward a bit there and people can hear more about it soon. I'll be able to talk about it plenty in the future. Won't spend too much time on it now. Just bringing these things up because I know a lot of folks are offline for the summer. So if anybody ever wants to get involved in the discussion, those are ongoing. Brief update on the large language model work that is cruising along, some really promising results of the prototyping. I'm hoping to have a demo that we're going to be able to start documenting, like what would the result of this, start showing it off to potential partners in a couple weeks and share with folks internally. But yeah, really exciting progress there. This is, I think, going to be the most significant evolution of Bono we've seen yet. I've talked many town halls about it. Again, if anybody wants to hear more about it, happy to talk more about it. But that is moving along really nicely. That's like a very kind of, that's like a sprint through a lot of proposals and projects in development, some greats, I'd say sales and drop opportunities for Bono coming down the line. On the other side of, so if you think about Bono as like this flywheel of cultural catalysts, new art, and then participation, the funnel, bringing people in, making sure that the experience of participation is fun and rewarding, that there's really healthy numbers, that energy fuels into the art does well, people get more excited about it. Again, we get our flywheel there. So on the side of participation, we've been developing a lot of new thinking around marketing, around the experience. The new app coming out is going to be really helpful with being able to iterate on the experience on the site, but also being able to follow up on opportunities like what we had with on Farcaster. There were like 5,000 token voters before we did one frame. There were 15,000 from that. So quadrupling numbers, how do we get better follow through? We were not ready for those kinds of numbers. And overall, kind of making more of a game. People can see their progress. They get social credit, credibility, social rewards, maybe smaller micro rewards that are interesting to a longer tail, balancing out the incentives, not just for people with a larger stake, but people in the long tail who have time but quality contributions to give and can earn their way into a larger stake, more say, and in general, just people having fun and having an experience that they want to share. So that's some of the backdrop to this discussion with Base, and lots of back and forth there. Jimmy, I'd actually pass this to you. I would say we're working on summing up what the conversation has been so far. To just to land it, there's been a lot of conversation, so helpful to just say here's what the concerns have been, how we're addressing those, and what seems to maybe still be unresolved, and what some of the changes might be.
I think one of the concerns that I saw flagged was that this is interpreted as like a, not as additive, but as replacing of mainnet, which I think is very straightforwardly not the case, right? It's not a forced migration of users by any means, right? Like you can take an either governance contract and still participate. I think the only, like, I think this concern was flagged because of the way I phrased something in the proposal where I mentioned that Bono rewards, if we do intend to use them, would be distributed on Base through the a Base rewards contract. And then also that would be the case of future ETH rewards being distributed at 75/25. And I think the only reason for that is that we can't exactly predict how many people or how few people will actually claim their rewards on Base as opposed to mainnet. The only thing to understand really here is that mainnet has a significant, the ETH rewards contract on mainnet has a significant buffer in terms of the amount of ETH that's currently deposited into that contract. So we're not looking to withdraw anything from that contract. No, it's just for the time being, while we see whether anyone actually uses that Base ETH rewards contract, we ensure that people aren't trying to claim and that there's nothing there to claim in that ETH rewards contract on Base. I think that's, you know, that's one point of clarification. And the only reason we commented, only reason I commented on the proposal that moving forward, if we do the Bono rewards, that doing it on Base is something we would intend. I only mention that because the upkeep of two contracts as opposed to one is more difficult because these contracts don't communicate between one another, between chains, right? So we would have to do that off-chain, which is already an additional thing to develop. You're basically using then an off-chain ledger to communicate between both contracts, which is a bit awkward to build. We can go ahead and build it. But then also, Base has low transaction costs. Mainnet right now has low transaction costs. I hear that argument completely. But you can always bridge between one or the other, right? And we need to see what the third web grant actually looks like and whether a relayer can subsidize claims on Base, whether they're ETH reward claims or BOTA reward claims, right? We just need to double check that with third web. But, you know, irrespective, you can bridge either one. And if BOTA rewards, like the claims are actually subsidized by a relayer, then it just makes more sense to upkeep on contract, right? Otherwise, it's just double work when users can easily bridge between Base and mainnet. One of the larger arguments for supporting a token launch on Base and all the additional contracts that come with it is facilitating transaction volume. This was flagged from conversations with centralized exchanges, right? They want to see more transaction volume. And they don't just mean token volume. They mean contract transaction volume between the contracts that the protocol runs. And that's an important KPI to keep in mind here, that we can essentially garner way more transaction volume on the likes of Base, also because you have a lot of active users on Base. You can argue, yes, like mainnet has a significant amount of transactions still, but the trend is very clearly skewed towards Base, also for in terms of like smaller players. So that aligns much more clearly with us looking for that long tail of committed stewards who want to come in and train BOTA. I'm trying to recollect, Simon, because I'm still playing a bit of catch up, what the other causes for concern were or where the conversation ended up landing. I think one was liquidity fragmentation, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah.
And I think Sync mentioned bridging additional protocol and liquidity rather than using existing protocol and liquidity. I think that was one point.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of points. And we're actually working on a document to sum up conversation so far, just to help make the conversation, like the vote, as informed as possible and the adaptations as informed as possible to cover the whole discussion. Mm-hmm. I think a couple big things have been, one was just this overall concern about the marketing. And I think that this is something I feel like we see a fair amount, which is a focus on a proposal as not, is this the priority? What about all of these other things? And our response is always that these are not mutually exclusive things. These are complementary. And I think we actually have been talking about providing more of a holistic view. And we try and speak to that holistic view as much as possible of kind of marketing thinking overall, but providing that in a more full view of the pipeline, of the funnel, if you will. And I was talking about this in terms of kind of the game and understanding different components of the game, the user journey, and how different pieces come together. And to make it more obvious, oh, this is where this fits. And it's totally understandable where if you feel like there's a gap, speaking of, you know, UX, we have this new app coming out. It's not super clear or obvious that's coming. What's coming with that? Can you please make the app better? It's yes, and we're doing all of these things. That's where a lot of the discussion was, I saw. My sense is there seemed to be a lot of acceptance of, oh, okay, I see how this fits more broadly and what the thinking is here. And I think the things have come down more to, and Sync, please speak to this as well, of one kind of liquidity splitting. And I think we can get into that a bit. I think liquidity is quite deep compared to what our current volume is and looking at what we would need in on Base. And then the other part was this idea of, is this abandoning, even if we're like keeping most things on mainnet, but bridging some of the token. And specifically to that part, and Sync, I haven't been able to write this up yet, but I've been talking with collectors and have even invited folks to come in and mention that. But the sentiment is like there is no sense of this is abandoning the philosophy or the provenance of the project. And I did make this point that I think it adds to it a lot in terms of bringing in more participation. But I've asked folks to voice that for themselves as well. I don't think everybody follows these super closely. I think
raises that.
Yeah, I think we've covered a lot. But yeah, Sync, welcome up to the stage.
Hey guys, do you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear. How you doing?
Good. Welcome back from your trip, GWP.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, so on the base proposal, very good discussions in the Discord about that. Yeah, I think just some of the verbiage, I think perhaps in a final proposal, if some of the verbiage is modified, I think it would be, me personally, I think, and perhaps looking at some of the comments from others, I think it would give the proposal more a welcoming consideration from people. So the language about like removing the active rewards contract from mainnet, personally, I think.
I totally understand that. I think it's one of the, it's one of those things where we don't want to basically remove any verbiage that reduces clarity in scope. I think you didn't. It wasn't so much a comment on just I think active rewards. I think it was also about future potential direction. I think that was like an aside somewhere buried in the proposal that mentioned it, and we can remove that. I'll find it for you. I'll find it for us in a sec. But yeah.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. And then I think also just from an accounting perspective, I was thinking instead of the 75-25 proposal about future active rewards going to 75% going to the active rewards contract on base and 25% staying on mainnet, my idea was, wouldn't it just be easier from an accounting perspective to quote unquote seed the active rewards contract with, I don't know, let's say one ETH up front and just leave it at that and then see how many people shift over and
Yeah, entirely possible. That's an okay alternative. I think it's just one of those, the only scenario that we're trying to avoid, and it's also a scenario that we have to prepare for technically, is if in the event that one of the contracts is completely has all of its funds exhausted through claims, that people who are claiming aren't marked as claimed, but it's marked that their transaction has failed because there was nothing to claim. So obviously that needs to be technically developed. That will be developed, but in an ideal state, we're avoiding that scenario to begin with.
Yeah.
So if we want to do 25-75 instead of 75-25 or seed it with one ETH and just see how it goes, doesn't matter. I think we just need that starting point. So if that's a concern, we can adjust that. Yeah. I personally have no issue with that. I think it's a fine alternative.
Yeah, I think also just from an operational perspective, it makes it much more easier for the team instead of having to juggle the 75-25, just seed it with one ETH and then see what happens. Because I think you're not going to, me personally, I don't think you're going to see large migration of whales or larger bottle holders, which would account for the bulk of bigger active rewards claims. I don't think you're going to see that right away to base. I think because mainnet post-Duncan upgrade right now, the fees are still relatively historically very low, considering.
I think you're right. I think it's a fair assumption because the majority of every user on Bono is currently on mainnet. So anyone who's currently claiming does so on mainnet. So just out of pure habit, likelihood of them claiming on mainnet is set to continue. What happens when you compound it with the minimum requirement of 100 stake to be eligible for ETH rewards? I have no clue. I don't think any of us can provide an adequate assessment of what will happen. We can only speculate. So provided we accommodate for that speculative scenario, I think it's totally fine.
Cool. I think one thing on that is it's really just being prepared for these edge cases, right? Let's say there's a big Beam coin run on base, right? If I'm a whale or whatever, it's like, I don't want to deal with bridge. Oh, this is like actually easier than doing a bridge. Sure, I'll just claim it on here and go for it. So and part of the thinking here again is because we have that huge buffer on mainnet, we basically can resolve for all those edge cases. And I think the bigger thing here is actually the balancing over time, which isn't a huge headache. It's just being aware and acknowledging. I think a lot of the language too about like we're trying to bake in this idea of like things will have to be adaptive to what's going to come and making indicators of how this develops. Maybe there's more claims on base, we'll see. And I do think the language definitely was ambiguous in terms of it made it seem like we're pushing to that. It's more so being able to follow along where are the claims happening so we can adapt. There will never I don't think we're gonna see all these like a full set of claims ever get claimed in one round. So that gives us some flexibility there. It's just being prepared for those edge cases so that we don't get caught off guard there.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. Yeah. And then the last point, I think on the liquidity fragmentation question, I think I brought it up based off of the June financials report, but I think Tom just posted the July report. So one idea I was thinking is instead of withdrawing liquidity from mainnet, potentially seeding the base pool or pools, depending on what the configuration of the pools will be on base, seeding those pools with a fresh contribution of ETH plus BATO from the allocation that was already set aside in BIP 42. I think the July report said that the Treasury has about 392 ETH now. Nothing crazy. My thought was, what if we just seeded the pool on Base with, let's say, 15 ETH to start and a corresponding amount of BATO from the 4 million that was already set aside from BIP 42. I think at the current ratio, it's going to be somewhere like 100,000 BATO, give or take. So I'm just throwing that idea out there because it may address the concerns of people that are like on the fence about supporting this because of the liquidity fragmentation question. So if they see that, oh, mainnet liquidity isn't actually being reduced here, we're just going
to understand it's an alternative. And there are like, I think there are a number of approaches to this. I think one of the main things to comment, irrespective of whatever alternatives or whatever main choices we have, is that the token, I think the other day, I remember checking, it did $10,000 in volume. And DexTools said to me that it had $4 million worth of liquidity, right? There's a chronic mismatch there already. If our thesis or our hypothesis is that there will be larger transactions or more larger volume of transactions rather on Base, especially over time, we need to already understand that there should be some kind of baseline there to accommodate liquidity and that facilitate that trading or that level of trading volume. I think that's fairly logical. I think we can all acknowledge that. I think we need to have, and this is why that 10% to 20% adjustment between the DAO's existing protocol and liquidity was mentioned in the proposal. The only reason that was put in place was so that we could be adaptive to, you know, trading volume on either one of those chains, right? For the sake of being trying to be as capital efficient as possible and being able to, just not even in terms of capital efficiency, right? I think it's governance efficiency as well, right? Because if all of a sudden you see a huge mismatch in trading volume between Base and mainnet, just hypothesizing here, say Base takes off, does hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of volume, right? You generally want to have more liquidity than on Base versus mainnet. Not in terms of just moving all the protocol and liquidity, no, but you want that 10 to 20% buffer to accommodate or facilitate all of that transaction volume, all of that trading volume, rather. I think that's a very fair way or approach to it. I think we just passed that. We just passed the poll incentives proposal through Snapshot a couple of weeks back. Maybe there's some room to explore there as another alternative. I don't mind exploring alternatives, but the last thing I want is that we are reactive and very slow from a governance perspective because we haven't, you know, we haven't discussed it already in this proposal.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think we really need to be mindful of.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because if we continue to be reactive, I think it will be problematic down the line.
No, I totally agree. And I think as a middle ground, my idea of thinking about it was the initial seeding would be like vis-a-vis, let's say 15 ETH plus 100,000 BATO from BIP42 that hasn't been allocated yet. But with the caveat, you know, 10% of liquidity on mainnet can be immediately shifted to Base if there's a certain, let's say, volume, 24-hour volume transaction target that's reached on Base.
I think this is why I mentioned the recent like protocol and liquidity incentive proposal passing. Effectively, if we were to take even more ETH and then pair that as fresh protocol and liquidity, just for the sake of Base, instead of taking from the existing pot, effectively we're cutting runway. I think you mentioned 15 ETH, that's what, 30, 40K US? And then the equivalent in BATO. Like, it is something to consider here. I think runway is something that does come into discussion as soon as we talk about budgeting for protocol and liquidity on Base. When, again, I see on mainnet, 10K or 11K in transaction volume, like over the past 24 hours.
Yeah, no, I understand. I
think doesn't seem like a big issue. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the July report. I think 15 ETH comes out to just under 4% of the current ETH holdings in the treasuries. Not an exorbitant amount of ETH, but definitely it would cut into runway. So I don't want to discount that, but I'm just trying to think how to approach this from that finding a middle ground perspective of addressing those liquidity fragmentation concerns.
Yeah, liquidity will always be fragmented irrespective, right? I think that's something that we as a DAO need to acknowledge. How fragmented, how many pools we launch across how many platforms is another question, right? We mentioned Aerodrome, and I think we mentioned Uniswap, or the reason why Uniswap.
Yeah, that's the last point I was going to actually mention, Shubhi's. I asked Simon about this. It wasn't clear because I think in one part of the proposal, it emphasizes Uniswap as far as under the liquidity migration, I think, section. Then later on in the proposal, it does allude to Aerodrome as well. So I think you guys just be clear in the final wording of the proposal. Like if.
Yeah, I think it would be one, not the other. I think that much is clear. The reason why, and this is probably a remnant from one of the older edits, Aerodrome does technically do more transaction volume than Uniswap on Base. Aerodrome is the de facto place to trade. And that's likely because of all the incentives that they offer to LPers. And I think that's something that us as a DAO, we should look to get actively involved in, but that also carries governance process outside of BODA. So I think we could just park that discussion for the sake of this. But Uniswap is something that thousands, if not tens of thousands of people who have had BODA in their wallets in the past are accustomed to when it comes to the BODA token. And that's why initially pairing and providing some liquidity on Uniswap is not a bad move. Not so much to necessarily accommodate the active stewards of the DAO, right? It does, but it's more along the lines of, oh, where do I trade BODA? Oh, I usually traded it on Uniswap. Okay, I'll go on Base on Uniswap and pick up some there, right? There's no way to accurately predict this. Right. I think we should be concerned about liquidity fragmentation. I don't think it should be a core concern based on where we are and the volume that we're doing and the level of liquidity, including protocol and liquidity that we currently have as a DAO. Right. But I think it's something to flag and pay attention to as our adventures on Base evolve. But yeah, hear you loud and clear, Sync. I think just ensuring that clarity in that final proposal is necessary.
Cool. Thanks, guys. That's all I had for today.
Cool, I appreciate it, Sync.
Thanks, Sync. So yeah, we had the V2 app, and we talk about annual report stuff.
Yeah,
you want to talk about the V2 app?
Yeah, V2 app, very brief. Like we're doing a bit of internal bug testing, and V2 app will come with the V2 site. We actually couldn't launch the site without the V2 app, like the phase 2, the thing that I've been droning on about the past couple town halls that needed to be completed to launch V2. What will happen likely on Monday is the original BODA.com, so the site that you currently see alongside the current app, will move to v1.BODA.com temporarily, and we'll likely only make the app available on v1.BODA.com. And then when you go to BODA.com, you'll land on the new site, you'll land on the app, and the app is that new V2 app. So everybody will have the new voting experience. You will still be able to access the old one. Right, there will probably be a couple of crucial bugs that we need to fix throughout next week, but that's the intention. We get those bugs out of the way quickly, and then everybody can completely replace their experience of the V1 app with the V2 one. That's as far as it goes, really. It's basically a switcheroo on come Monday.
Nice. Yeah, and just in terms of the comms there, it's going to be like soft launch in the DAO, and then let it get battle tested with the folks who are here on a regular basis, and then we'll start pushing hard more publicly. This is also getting BODA nice and polished up for the PR pitching as it starts to really kick off. Last topic, and again, if anybody wants to hear about a specific topic or has a question, feel free to drop it in the chat. But last thing on the agenda we started with, we have the annual budget coming up. And thinking about just some of that discussion about the idea of holistic marketing and helping provide that holistic view of strategic direction that helps give people that full picture understanding, okay, what's this piece we're deciding on? How does this fit overall into things? And it's a good chance to discuss that overall direction, ensure that we're moving with consensus from the DAO about directionally where we're going and how these pieces fit together. And also, of course, just to report on what we did over the last year. I think there's a lot of stuff that was not as visible. We've done a lot of building out and in general, just building our velocity, right? Not just speed, not just bigger projects, but just the speed of bigger projects and our ability to ship a lot. And I think this fall is going to bear out a lot of the work we've been doing over the last year and really only increase that velocity. I think huge opportunities are going to come out of Sotheby's, PR, the large language model project, P5, and that's up through December, January, February, next 6 months are very exciting. And I think a big thing is we set our budget last year ahead of the OTC that happened in February, so ahead of a much healthier treasury. And we've put together some proposals more recently, like the PR firm, the large language model project that had these own their own budgets. And it's, I think the crux of the conversation is really around where do we want to go over the next year and really 2 years. We want to look, I think, more than just a year ahead in terms of budget, in terms of what we're setting up for, and then understanding kind of what are those gaps, where do we need to invest in and add to. So yeah, looking forward to putting together that kind of like past, present, and future view for everybody and getting that conversation going. And yeah, last year was a big discussion. Imagine it'll be another big discussion this year. Last year was particular because it was the first budget as since moving to the contractor model from the team tokens being vested, those finished vesting, and we're going into this contracting model. So there's a bit less in terms of kind of new structures and really able to get more focused on kind of the priorities and our strategy. Yeah, very much looking forward to getting that done. I think that's it. Nice, efficient chat. And we can hold for a couple minutes if folks want to chat or ask anything. Jumi, any other topics for you?
No, not at the moment. I guess one thing I'm wondering about is should we host these office hours or just hop in a little more frequently? I'm not sure how appreciated the bi-monthly or bi-weekly, every 2 week cadence of the town hall is. I know we have a lot of async listeners. That's something we checked just before hopping in. It would be good to hear from all the non-live listeners whether they like the updates every 2 weeks that come from these town halls, or whether we should continue to explore more or other formats. Don't get me wrong, I think we all appreciate these town halls to a degree. I am just wondering whether there are other methods, like office hours. I find myself and Simon speaking to a number of DAO members who aren't actually usually in these town halls. Maybe they do come in and listen in async. I'm just really curious at this stage. So if you have some thoughts or opinions, please share it in general chat on Discord or ping me privately or share it on the governance discussion or wherever, really. Just want to hear from you guys. But other than that, I don't have any specific calls to action. I think, yeah, we can hang around for a minute or two or we can wrap it up. Simon, I'm easy. I was in Chicago, by the way. Art Institute in Chicago is amazing. I loved it.
Yeah, incredible museums out there.
It's fantastic, and everything is so well presented. The guards, they speak too much, though. They're very loud. But that's my completely off-topic aside. I only mention it because I picked up the essential guide, and I have it in front of me, and I'm flipping through it right now. But yeah, like I just wanted to flag that. So if anyone does visit Chicago, the Art Institute is an absolute must.
Agreed.
Cool. I think maybe let's wrap it up for this town hall. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And catch you hopefully tomorrow or in the next few office hours or the following town hall. Thanks, everyone.
Have a good one. Cheers.
See ya.